Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Great to have you listening, by the way. And I just don't throw that out. I mean that really quite sincerely. We are very appreciative of all of you that listen to us every single day. Why are we surprised, Greg? Donegal County Council has been blowing money for years. Highly inefficient organisation, says the listener. This is off the back, by the way. If you still tune in at 10, and some people still are conditioned to begin listening to this show at 10, and we appreciate you, but you miss so much between 9 and 10 as well, where we kick the show off. And we were talking about credit card spending at Donegal County Council. An audit found in the first 8 months of last year I don't have the figures in front of me right now. I want to make sure I get it exactly right. You see, €1 million was put on credit cards in 8 months of last year. And the story is that the council has issued 270-odd credit cards to staff. That equates to about one in four members of staff. The cards are only supposed to be used in the Republic. There was spending overseas. There were the acquisition of some items for legitimate council work, don't get me wrong, that the auditor had some issues with. Spending limits were exceeded. Around 150 grand is hard to account for because of the quality of the receipts or invoices uploaded. So that's what we've been talking about with Damien Dowds, and former councillor Nicholas Crossan was involved in that conversation as well. All public offices, believes another listener, should be audited. There's so much public money being squandered. I'm sure it would be an eye-opener. Accountability has to be taken. Good morning. This credit card scandal at the county council is just sickening. DCB homeowners can't get their payments if they are one penny out. Damien and myself actually made that point because it's such a glaring point to make. Councillors passed this audit at a council meeting. Does that mean out of the 35 elected councillors, not one of them actually read them? It's 38 councillors we have now, but yeah, I take your point. Hi, Greg. The names of the staff and the name of the supplier should be public record, given it's public funds. Yeah, but, you know, that would suggest impropriety, right? And we have to be very careful in relation to that. No one is suggesting that things were bought on credit cards that shouldn't have been bought. It's just how they were acquired, what kind of tracking there was on that. I just want to be clear in relation to that. You mentioned the councillors. Obviously, the councillors have a very good relationship with the executive, and some of the executive's names are going to be on, according to Damien, redacted in these documents. So, I don't know. Greg, it's time for a proper investigation into Donegal County Council and its road workers. No proper check on their road workers and their expenditure. Well, there is. We have to be careful too with our language. I understand where you're coming from. That's your view. I don't. We don't necessarily back that, if you know what I'm saying. So I understand where you're coming from. I can't read all of that text because, as I say, the scope of your allegations goes beyond what we're talking about. Scandalous, please don't try to defend their actions, Greg. How did I? Let me know. 086 60 25,000. I do as much as is possible, have to cover all bases and be as fair as possible. I can't come on and, like some might on the X platform and Facebook, and say absolutely whatever I like. Nor can anyone, because there are rules in relation to that. Anyone can see the blatant waste of money within Donegal County Council every day. Another defective block, families have to jump through hoops and everything is returned if a T is missing, a cross on a T is missing. Yet this has been going on for years and no one's concerned about the poor practices. The auditor is, and we are, but I take your point. Hi, Greg. Dog fouling comes under the Litter Act, so people should contact their local litter warden at Donegal County Council. I would have thought that would have been the dog wardens. Pardon my ignorance. Parking on Downing's beach last Saturday was nothing but disgraceful. I walk that beach daily, but because an event was held on the beach on Saturday, cars were just dumped everywhere. The organisers didn't care for us locals. This was just despicable. Yeah, I think you're talking about the pro-Palestine protest. Listen, a lot of the people that came to the beach that day weren't locals and perhaps aren't necessarily familiar with the etiquette. You know, what happens normally on that beach, like any beach, Ross Nile is the same for an example, is you come in and obviously there's cars parked right at the entrance and then you go up the way a little bit, but they all congregate into one particular area. I'm sure many people thought it was for a very good cause and they were in and out in a relatively short period of time. Am I going to get in trouble for trying to defend something a listener's not happy about? I'm not. I'm sorry if that's how it comes across. out of interest, is that the has that work beginning on the Downing's Carrigart cycle walkway? I wonder. There is some machinery on site. It looks like maybe that finally is about to be delivered, which is good. Water outages overnight in Clonmany and surrounds last night because of some pumping issues, I believe. The water being switched off in the Downings area whilst we're talking about that. I got a note from Irish Water overnight between now and Thursday because water is running out. You know, this is going to be a really big problem, I think, going forward, especially in terms of planning and new developments. You know, we still have that hose pipe ban in Milford. There's still great concerns about water supplies elsewhere. And now in little towns and areas, we're seeing water going off at night to conserve stocks. And I don't think we can effectively catch the water from the sky. You know, I don't believe we can to meet the demand. I could be wrong in relation to that, but it's a problem. And it's a problem that's, I think, going to get worse. Tell the listener to get an ant killer. This is the listener that had the creepy crawlies coming into the house. Tell the listener to get an ant killer and put it around the whole boundary of the house. It will stop them coming near. Put the plugs in all your sinks and baths down. They're coming from there. Had the same problem myself a few years ago. Great advice. Thank you so much for passing that on. And I presume the ant killer is available in your hardware stores and what have you. I wonder, are they up the side of your house as well? A caller says, sick and tired of people thinking it's okay for their dogs to foul the beach. Families trying to enjoy the beach, but with dog poo everywhere. It's disgusting and a health hazard. Please pick up, take a doggy bag, bring it home with you, bin it. Very simple. I wish the council would follow their own rules and issue fines to people following the dog to foul in public places and sometimes in beaches. And I'm going to throw up a little bit in my mouth. People kick a little bit of sand over the dog poo. And our kids and our families are running around on the beach. There's a tiny layer of sand over the dog poo. Squish, you know yourself. And it's not all dog owners. And I'm sorry to label that point. Hi, listening to your show about medical cards, it's a joke. I'm a pensioner. I'm 67 years old. I'm still working. My medication costs €100 per month. A doctor visit, €50. I won't get a medical card till I'm 70. I've worked all my life. Should be retired. Put my children through college. Paid for everything. People who work get punished all the time. It's an interesting story. And that's an interesting age, you know, 67. Because you've a long working life behind you, potentially 50 years, maybe even more. And do we often talk, or have we ever really had a proper convo in recent years about people in that age bracket who want to retire? They think, right, I've done enough. I have done enough. I can give no more. How much good health do I have left? And I simply can't afford to retire. I have to keep working. I'm 67. Now, it's fantastic we're alive. Would you have been alive at 67, 100 years ago, let alone working? And I'm delighted you're healthy enough to work. But I mean, like, what's going through the head of someone in their, you know, mid to late 60s who has to work, but just wants to stop working and have a bit of time for themselves for hopefully the 30 years. You can easily have 30 years remaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not writing you off. I'm not that far off this myself. But, you know, having to work when you don't want to work. Because we often talk about those that want to work, but they're being told they have to retire. Now, there is some work being done on that. But this person is 67. It's 3 years before they get a medical card. They're still having to work. They've probably still got bills. I mean, mortgage companies are giving people mortgages now to 80 years of age. You know, people at 40 years of age are getting 40-year mortgages. I mean, when is the time to say, I need time to live? You know, what are we working for? I know what I'm working for. I don't really care about retiring as such. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just curious if this is a... if it pees people off in that age category, if that makes sense. Do I have requests for After 10, Caroline? Just because we normally play it. Don't run, Caroline. Don't. I can fill, darling. It's like Pamela Anderson coming in there. Good morning, Greg. Can you please wish my aunt, Edie McDermott from Lifford, a very happy 91st birthday? She's celebrating her birthday in Brindley Manor Nursing Home in Convoy. This comes in from Paul and Catherine in Lifford. So if you're listening, a very happy birthday to you and a big hello to you and everyone, residents and staff at Brindley Manor Nursing Home in Convoy. We are hoping, Edie, that you have a very happy 91st birthday. So hopefully you're listening, or perhaps maybe it'll be right at the start of the podcast. Someone can play it back to you a little later on. But I hope you have a wonderful day. And I know, Brindley Manor, you're going to be spoilt rotten between the staff and colleagues and your family calling in. Have a wonderful day. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And I have in studio Caroline Henderson and her daughter, Evelyn. Good morning, Caroline. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping?
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
You're
on
doing
this
okay. Yeah. Yeah. Evelyn, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Are you enjoying your summer holidays so far?
Yes, I am.
And you're back at school next week?
No, I get an extra week off.
What?
School.
How did you manage to do that?
Because I'm getting a new school building.
Oh, very, very good. But you're probably mad to get back to school now, are you?
No.
You're enjoying the time with Mummy? Okay, well, listen, it'll all be grand when you get back in. They'll ease you in. Don't worry about that. Right, Caroline, I'm sorry to be talking to you in the context of the passing of your husband, Carl Henderson. He was climbing Mount Errigal on Saturday, the 26th of April of this year with three friends, and it ended very, very tragically. So in your own words, talk to me about Carl, his interests, why he decided to do this, whatever you're comfortable talking about.
Okay. Well, thanks for having us here. We're setting up a big fundraiser today in memory of Carl to put an AED on Errigal Mountain to hopefully the next family won't be in this position where they're left as a widow with three young children. So Carl was a larger-than-life character. He was born in England to a Welsh mum and an English father, and we were together for nearly 24 years, and he got the job as a country manager for a company called Globus that does big PPE throughout the world. And he absolutely loved being in Ireland. He travelled around all 32 counties, and he loved going out and having food. He loved the crack. He was always laughing and joking. And just before he died, he took a selfie and made a joke and was having a great time climbing Errigal with his three friends. Really happy. It was his third time climbing Errigal when, unfortunately, he died.
And he was in his 40s, a regular walker, so he didn't sort of, he wasn't pushing himself beyond something he wasn't used to. And he was one of those guys, and more of us should be like that, that was getting checks and stuff. And
yes,
according to the medics, you know, he was in pretty good health, yeah?
Yes, he was at the doctor in Moira just the week before the Easter holidays, and his blood pressure was normal with medication. His blood tests came back normal. He was trying to actively lose weight. He was being fit and healthy. And the only thing he'd said to me, he got back up to Crawley. We have a caravan up there and we spend lots of months of the year up here. Mm. And he just said he felt tired after the drive from Dublin. He was working in Dublin, which was really unusual for him to say he was tired. Mm. But I thought he was just mourning after having a week's holiday in Disneyland with the kids the week before. Yeah.
I think that's one of those sort of retrospective indicators that you're never going to pick up. I mean, the amount of times I go home and I say I'm exhausted today. Do you know that sort of way? But I suppose, you know, after the fact, you kind of can, it makes a little bit more sense. So he took ill on the mountain, and it so happened that paramedics were hiking on the mountain at the time. So talk to me a little bit about the time frame of that.
Yes, so I think he roughly got to the car park about 12 o'clock and he climbed up the path, and it's a brilliant brand new path. It's fabulous. Carl and I watched the helicopter build the path over the last couple of years, and he got to the top of the path and he stopped to look out to the view of Tory Island. It was a beautiful sunny day. He was laughing and joking with his friends, had a drink of water, sat down on a flat rock, and then he stood up and he just collapsed.
Just in that moment.
And I think he died in that moment, you know, as far as all the medical people have been trying to explain, trying to help me to make sense of this.
Of course.
This.
Because we think with a heart attack, but sure, listen, they were working on him really quickly. People survived
that.
But unfortunately, it obviously was a catastrophic medical event for him.
Yeah, catastrophic. Yeah. And he did have the best help he could have got. You know, he had every third person walking the mountain that day was an off-duty paramedic, doctor, nurse. You know, there was, his friend said there was two nurses there within a minute of him falling. He didn't put his hands out when he fell, so that was quite a big indicator.
Understood, yeah.
And then, you know, Jerry Lynn came really quickly, and I've heard he's an amazing doctor, and if anyone was going to save you, it would be him.
And they didn't give up on him either. They continued to work on him, and did so until such time as the Coast Guard helicopter arrived, and he was transported to Letterkenny University Hospital, but it quickly became clear that, unfortunately, he was going to succumb to this medical event.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you find out? Because, I mean, you got a selfie, right? So you're going, thank God he's all right. He's up there. He'll be home soon. You know, so as far as you were concerned, everything was okay and you were just getting on with your regular day without knowing this was unfolding. So how did you learn of his passing?
So I was at the play park in Lurgan up in Armagh with the children, and just a phone call came. I didn't know, recognise the number, and it was one of Carl's friends, and he said, "Oh, Carl's had a funny turn, and he's on the helicopter, getting off the mountain." So I said, "Oh, ha ha, well done, tell Carl, well done, enjoy his drinks tonight. You know, well done for climbing Errigal." You know, it was the kind of thing Carl would maybe have joked with me.
Yeah.
You know, we'd had a joke about him climbing Errigal on the Friday. You know, I said it would be good for you, and he said, "Oh, stop, Caroline. You know, I'm not sure it will be." So I really thought it was a joke, and then I rang him back and I said, "Look, how bad is this? Is he unconscious?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, they've been working on him for over an hour now."
Yeah.
So I rang my sister, who lives here in Donegal as well, and I rang the children's godmother and I said, "I think if this is bad, you know, I need someone with the children, someone with me." And I said to my sister, she was at a cycling competition in Sligo, my other sister was in Prague at the time, "You know, if you get there before me, just hold Carl's hand and tell him that I love him." But unbeknown to me, by the time I'd got the call, Carl was unfortunately already officially declared dead. You know, it was 2.5 hours before anyone had phoned me.
You obviously know that maybe that moment that you wanted to happen didn't happen, but he passed in the full knowledge that his family loved him very much.
Oh, of course. Okay. And Carl was very loved, and he was a brilliant dad, and he was a very devoted husband.
Yeah. We don't always have to be told it, you know. you can sense it, so don't you be worrying about that. I want to come back to that a little bit about sort of the chain of information, especially in a time-sensitive situation about a family finding out. We might come back to that. This is quite remarkable given how many of the defib machines, which is really what we're talking about, that's what people know them mostly as. These defib machines are everywhere, which is fantastic, right? But this is an area where people are, you know, not everyone's an extreme an experienced climber or doesn't necessarily know their health and all that kind of stuff. So it's almost remarkable there isn't one here.
Yeah.
We're also in that situation whereby we can almost be satisfied that it might not have saved your husband's life. It might not have saved Carl's life. But that doesn't mean we can't recognise the potential need for someone to for one to save somebody else's life. So why did you decide to sort of focus on this? You know, we're heading towards the 6-month anniversary of Carl's passing, I would imagine. So why this and why now?
Well, really, it's a community that have come together. It's not just ourselves as Carl's family. It's the first responders that were there on the day. It's the paramedics that were there on the day. It's the bystanders. I think it was very hard for them waiting for a defib to arrive. You know, the land ambulance from Letterkenny got there within record time, within 23 minutes. Everything was done. People ran up the mountain with the defib. When they got tired, the next passerby ran up. Someone went and got the closest defib, which was in Dunluce, and that arrived roughly just after the land ambulance from Letterkenny, as far as I'm aware. And I think it must have been really hard for the people on the mountain that day, watching Carl die.
Give me the equipment that I can give this man a chance with.
Yeah.
And the fact of having to go to Dunluce, which is close, but listen, down, up,
in a car, drive back.
And I presume then from the likes of Dr. Lane and others, they will know the best location for something like this, whether it's at the bottom or in the middle, probably not the top, so that's where we could get some good guidance from them on that, I presume.
Well, I've spoken to Mountain Rescue and they have said actually they think the best place for the defib to go on Errigal is at the spot where Carl died.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good halfway point. It's at the top of the path before you start the steep incline.
Yes. And in terms of maintenance, there's experts up and down that mountain all the time.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Just to make sure everything is okay. And 6 months after his death, the 26th of October, you're organising a charity climb of Errigal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how does that make you feel? Because it's There's a lot of emotion in there, right?
Yes, a lot of emotion. And I think I have to just embrace Errigal and be really grateful that it's such a beautiful place that Carl died, you know. And the ironic thing is I climbed Errigal as a six-year-old and my twins are now six and they lost their dad there. Mm. And Carl chose for us to get married in Dunluce.
So it's important.
Very important.
Many glorious reasons.
Yes, lots of good memories.
Some tragic ones. And I suppose he obviously had a great love of that mountain and probably not all the time as you head up, but, you know, we've all lost people in very different ways, and this maybe doesn't help now, but, you know, he's taken in that beauty and the memories, and, you know, I suppose if you could pick, you never would pick a time, but if you could pick a place, obviously you'd want to be with your loved ones, but there's something comforting in that. It's really, well, I hope that he was up that mountain and experienced that beauty.
And he was with friends and he was in such a beautiful place, talking about great family memories we had. And, you know, the nurses told me that they were holding Carl's hand and they were trying to bring him back round. You know, there was a lot of love there from everybody that day. There was a lot of respect, you know, the people that were there have told me, and I've all the jigsaw pieces are coming together. And if there's anyone else listening that was there that day, I would love to hear their story. You know, I think it'll help me to hear as many people that was there.
Yeah, make it real.
And make it real for me, because there's just a big gap missing. But I think
it's like you've been told something and you have to fully believe that to mourn and grieve and get over what you're getting over, which is tough. So we recognise that, right? Because you've just been told a story.
Yeah, it feels doesn't seem real to me. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right. And again, it's a tough week, and whenever you lose someone, you know, the special dates seem to come around all the while, but you've got a very important one coming up on Friday, very important to you and Carl.
Yes, on Friday it would have been Carl's 49th birthday, and then on Monday it should have been our 13th wedding anniversary. Yeah. So it's a very hard week.
Yeah, it is. But I know that you've got very supportive, loving people around you. And I've no doubt Carl's not going to give up on you that quick. I'm sure he's knocking about here somewhere.
Oh,
making sure you're all right.
And, do you know, on the way up to Letterkenny Hospital, like, by the time I got to Ballygawley, I could feel Carl with me in the car.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I did have a good sense.
Not what exactly are you wanting with you, but he's there.
Yes.
Isn't that it?
Yes, definitely.
He was a joker, you say?
Absolute huge joker. Huge joker. Yes.
Okay. Do you have the details of the charity climb on the 26th, Carolyn? Because people might want to help. This is in all of our interests. The Errigal's a natural amenity for all of us here. And I think we could all get great comfort. It's remarkable we don't have a defib on it. Really, really is,
yes,
actually.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So I think this will be a very, very important thing, and will enshrine Carl and his memory and the family with the mountain, okay? So how are you doing the fundraiser, or have you got the details?
So we've got an iDonate page. It's called Climb for Carl, and it's just gone live this morning, and there's a Facebook page, an event Facebook page saying Climb for Carl.
Okay, listen, I mean, obviously, if you want to climb, donate. I think at this point, if you just want to go on iDonate and search Climb for Carl, you don't have to go near the mountain. You might just want to contribute to getting this defib in situ.
Yes.
All right, okay. Evelyn, how are you keeping? I know it's very sad listening maybe to this conversation, but remembering your dad, who was a great man. And what do you want to say to me?
Well, I wish that my dad was still alive, but if Letterkenny Hospital is listening, thank you for trying to save my dad and the people who are doing the CPR and the people who
did everything they could to help your daddy.
Yeah.
Okay, now you wouldn't know, but my son, my middle son, was your age when his mummy died suddenly as well. And it's very, very sad, but you'll be okay. You know that too, and you keep your dad in your thoughts, and he'll never be too far away from you.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're just full of thanks for everyone who tried their best for your dad, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Carolyn, is there anything else that maybe Evelyn wanted to say, or is that what she did want to say?
I think that was all you wanted to say, and we just had a wonderful week the week before Carl died.
Come on, you second. Sorry. I'll take over here, Caroline. Because where did you go, Evelyn? You went to...
I went to Disneyland Paris.
Okay, and what did you like about it?
Well, we went on this Hollywood Tower of the Terror, and it was so fun because my little sister, there was this little girl on it, and she says, "Don't scream, or then they're gonna get you." And then my sister didn't scream, but I did scream. My dad screamed, my mum screamed, and my brother screamed. And then when we got off the ride, my brother was crying so much. And my dad and my brother took a picture, and there was like this light behind a box. Remember that, Mummy?
Yes.
Yeah. And you could see the little girl's hair. And then my brother got really scared, and then he started crying again because he thought that the little girl was going to like be in his dreams, and he didn't really like it.
Oh, I can imagine. So, and are you a big Disney fan? Do you like the princesses and all that? Are you that kind of a girl? Or?
No, I kind of like Stitch more, but if you ask my little sister that, yes, she really does love princesses.
And your little sister's 6, is that right?
Yep, she is 6.
And her brother is her twin, so he's 6 too.
Yeah.
So your big sister looking out after them.
Yeah, but...
And I'd say you never ever fight, do you?
We do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do. They're really annoying.
But as a big sister, you're just going to have to suck that up. All right, okay. Well, you can get angry sometimes. Sorry, but tell Mum or Granny and they'll sort it out. All right, Caroline, lovely memories for you to have, Evelyn, and you're a great wee talker. My job could be under threat here yet. So there's a climb of Errigal. It's a charity climb on the 26th of October this year. It's 6 months after the very sad and sudden passing of Carl Henderson from Moira?
Yes,
Moira in County Down, but very, very familiar to this part of the world, as is Caroline and the children and family have spent so much time here as well. So listen, obviously, if you want to get involved in that climb and raise a few quid, I'm sure, as I say, this is a defib in Carl's name, but it's for us all. Or if you just want to back Caroline and the family and go on to iDonate and go to Climb for Carl and make a donation, it all helps. And there's a Facebook page as well. It's an event page, isn't it, called Climb for Carl. Anything else? Oh, yes, Caroline, I wanted to discuss with you this gap between, you know, this catastrophic health event and you kind of finding out, am I correct in saying that, you know, you think maybe there's something else we could look at going forward?
I guess, you know, there was 2.5 hours time delay between the 999 call getting made and someone contacting me. So I guess, you know, the rescue effort was absolutely outstanding. It was phenomenal. It gives me so much comfort that everything was done that could have been done to save Carl. I guess just moving forward in the future, if anyone is ever in a catastrophic medical event like this and they need to ring 999, just please be mindful to try and ring the wife, the husband, the next of kin in a timely manner, please.
Yeah, because time is obviously of the essence. And I think a lot of the story, your case, Caroline, is... Not everything might apply to your situation, but there's learnings there that maybe could improve things for other people.
Yeah, and I think if I'd had a phone call within, you know, certainly 30 minutes of Carl collapsing, I could have met the helicopter at Letterkenny Hospital and I could have been there when he was officially declared dead.
I know.
Which would have meant a great deal for me.
Yeah. You know,
and Carl was in the mortuary by the time I arrived, which was absolutely brutal.
That's it goes from a hospital bed or something or would have... It would have bridged that gap between what, you know, had helped with the grieving. Because so many people suffered with grieving during the pandemic, dare I say, that word, because there's a process we go through that helps us understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And you've missed a big chunk of that. But hopefully you'll work through it. As I say, you've got...
I think the fundraiser is going to be great. It's given me a real positive
100%.
To focus on. And if it saves somebody else's life or gives somebody else a little bit more time.
But there is inevitability of that. We know that's going to happen. It's not, you know, often we talk about what might happen. If that defib is there, it will do exactly as you talk of. Hi, Greg. What an amazing young girl. I lost my dad when I was 10. I always chat to him and I know he's always with me. Stay strong, Evelyn. So lots of people in the same boat, and more of this will make sense if it doesn't make sense now as time moves forward. Evelyn, thank you. You've stole the show, star of the show. Well done to you. Can't believe you're getting an extra week off school. all the other kids listening going, blooming hell, that's not fair. But anyway, it'll be good for you too. Caroline, all the love and strength that you need going forward, particularly for Friday.
Thank you.
And hopefully you can draw on the joy that you and Carl had to help you through the clearly the very difficult time ahead. And check out Climb for Carl. Climb for Carl. It's spelt with a C, by the way. Sometimes they knock a K on there. Climb for Carl with a C on iDonate. It'd be lovely if Caroline stepped out and there was a wee rush of donations. But that's fine. Do it in the days to come. And also check out the event page on Facebook, Climb for Carl with a C, in case you want to get involved in that climb as well. Anything at all, Caroline, you wish to add before we wrap things up?
Just Marie, our close family friend, is organising buckets in the local shops in Gidor, cool. Which is where my mum's from.
All right, okay, yeah. That's everything.
So thank you.
Yeah, so are we sure we've mentioned everything Mum wanted mentioned?
Marie, is there anything else?
No.
She's in the sidelines.
Thank you.
All right, listen, all three of you, well done, Marie. Thanks very much. It's very important that you were here. For Caroline and... is it Aveling or Aveling?
Aveling.
Yes. Okay, so yeah. I've said it correctly, haven't I?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just thanks for everyone for all the support on the day and the days and months afterwards. We really appreciate it.
Oh, one second. We've got a late addition for Marie. Go ahead.
Oh, and Michael McCafferty, the councillor.
Local councillor is supporting you, of course. Yes. It's right in his backyard.
Yeah, he's pledged €2,500.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so thank you very much.
All right, well done, Michael. That's great. He's on the show with us on Friday, actually, as well, too. So I think as part of the Friday panel. All right, all three of you, thanks so very much indeed.
Thank you.
All right, Kilgore's with me now. Hi, Kilgore.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah. I sort of made a passing comment about, you know, a listener earlier on, 67, won't get a medical card to 70, worked all their lives, wants to retire, but can't, has to work.
Yes, well, as I say, I was the opposite, but, you know,
wanted to keep going,
ridiculous.
Didn't you?
I wanted to keep going, but unfortunately, I had to go at 65. Now, this was voluntary, remember, I wasn't even getting, I don't get a pension or anything from it.
This was a Garda Reserve, wasn't it, yeah?
Just a Garda Reserve. Yeah. I actually can't believe, I think it was 4 years that I was speaking to you about this.
Yeah.
And I'd said I wanted to stay on, but I just think that we've come to a stage and, you know, I was out for a 5K walk yesterday. I think I'm reasonably fit. I don't think I'm doting yet. But, you know, I could be doing things. And you were talking, it was actually something that was, you were talking about Shrove, and it was on about parking and things like that. Those type of things, guards can't do that. Guards don't have the time to be out doing that. I could have been there. I could have been a reserve. I could have been out there. Lots of reserves would like to do things like that in the community.
Interesting.
When they can.
Yeah, because it's important work, isn't it? And it would take the pressure off the Gardaí and the criticism off the Gardaí as well. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you want to retire when you come and you get your pension, that's fine. I have no, everybody, I think 66 or 65, whatever they can, if they want to retire, yes, they should be able to retire. But if you want to go on, you should be able to go on.
Yeah.
I don't want to
make it more dramatic, but the way it feels with me, this conversation, Kilgore, is that you're a healthy and hearty 69. You want to contribute to society, but you're being told, actually, you're too old, purely because of your your birth cert. Not because of your ability or because of your health, but you're being told you can't contribute any more to society or law enforcement in this space because you're 69. Like, we've written you off. You're finished.
That's it. That's correct. Go out to the garden and do whatever you're doing, and that's about the height of what you can do. And it was the same on the day that I had to retire. I had to retire at 65 from the reserve. I retired on the 18th, but on the 17th, I was out on the beat and walking. But on the 18th, I wasn't able to do anything after that.
Earlier this week.
And it was voluntary.
Yeah, earlier this week, Kilgore, we've been talking about school bus drivers in the same situation. One Tuesday,
exactly,
they're perfectly fine to drive kids around for bus errand. Wednesday, no, you're too old. But You can pick them up and take them to football practice if you wish. You know what I mean? We need to really start reviewing and judging people on their ability, not what's on their birth cert.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to give you the scenario that I may have given it to you before.
This
would be to do with policing, but in England, they have special constables, which would be similar to reserves, but they would do a lot more. But I was watching a program, and this is way, way back, but I was watching a program where they had a special constable who was 70. He was out, and what he was doing was he was in his village, and the people were complaining about the speeding in his village and the schooling and all, and that's what he was doing. He was out with speed camera. He was slowing cars down. He was 70 years of age. And he was quite capable of doing it. He was on the television talking. So, you know, that's good. But,
but look what he can contribute. He's got time. He's got experience. His community policing. Do you know what I mean? That's vital. That's one of the greatest losses we've had, I think. When I was at National School in Lahey, you know, the guards were in all the time. Do you know what I mean? You knew the guards. Yeah. You knew they knew you, which I think sometimes quite important as well. It was useful, and we seem to have lost that. All right, Kilgore. Listen, I think it's a terrible way. Someone like yourself, who is fit, healthy, and enthusiastic about contributing, but being told that you can't do it, and that's 4 years on, by the way. You're told this at 65.
At 65,
And I can confirm your sound. You said a little earlier on that you might be losing. You're not. I can tell by our conversation. You're in fine fettle upstairs. You're in fine fettle upstairs as well, Kilgore.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, chat to you soon. Take care of yourself. 086 60 25,000. Dear Greg, people need to stop complaining. There are no famines, wars, or genocides in Ireland. Yep. I get where you're coming from. There might be no famines, but there's a lot of families struggle to feed their kids, right? And I know this sounds like you're saying things are okay, and I'm saying, no, they're bad. But there are people struggling to even eat in this country. There are children living in poverty that are malnourished. Now, their ribs aren't sticking out, if you know what I'm saying, but they're having to eat terrible food because their families literally can't afford to eat. You say there's no wars. Of course there's no wars, but and there's no genocide as well. But, you know, there is a lot going on and stuff that kind of, you could say, is under the umbrella of some of those words. Not genocide, but other things as well. But anyway, listen, I take your point. And we do know that life is good and life is precious. But we also do know that we have to, at times on shows like this, try and improve things where they need to be improved. I'm sitting here very conscious of a place not too far from here where, you know, things are difficult at the moment, for an example. A lot of people have no shame or empathy. The people that litter, leave dog poop parked in disabled parking spaces, etc., really don't care if they're called out. They're too selfish and self-absorbed to care. And unfortunately, there are a lot of these types out there indeed. And these are the people often that if you were to say, excuse me, your dog's just done a massive crap there on that footpath, that they would tell you to F off. The same people that if they're parked in a disabled parking bay and you said, sorry, excuse me, could you move that car? You seem able-bodied and I need it for my children. They say, F off, I'm only going to be 5 minutes, you nosy parker. You know, so how do you get through to people like that? Buncrana can't get a road sweeper because of budget issues and the council can waste taxpayers' money. I think the people need to wake up. Well, we're wide awake. We're wide awake. We're having the conversation and people know what needs to be fixed. Morning, Greg. There are 37 councillors in Donegal. Most of them, the caller is quite disparaging towards them. Okay. We're out and about on Friday. We are coming live from Dunfanaghy Golf Club. They've got a really important day there. They're raising money for Ronald McDonald House. You might remember, actually, Sean was in flagging that. So we're broadcasting live from that. As you know, as a listener, for the most part, it'll be business as usual, but we'll have a bit of crack and conversation from beautiful Dunfanaghy Golf Course, to be more specific. So that's this coming Friday. And also, too, there's some talk that maybe we might get involved in that climb of Errigal for that defib in Carl's memory. Me and Caroline might take that one on. We'll tell you a little bit closer to the time because it's such an important thing and it's a wonderful legacy and it's something that should be there, I think. It's something that should be there in any case because it's such an attractive place for people from all over the country to visit, not just those of us who can avail of it from within the county. So we'll talk about that anon. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, by the way. You can give us a call at 07491 25000. Don't go anywhere because the last hour of the show is as fun, as exciting as the middle and first hour, so we want you on board for that. Marty says you can retire but still have a lot of knowledge to teach society. Marty, yep, 100%, and it's lost almost when we don't tap into that, when people are willing to continue to contribute.